Well, today we find ourselves again in the book of Acts as we've been continuing to go through our series titled The Bible, A True Story. We've spent the last several weeks here in Acts. Maybe part of that is because it's my favorite book of the Bible, but we've been looking at the early church, and we've been looking at some of the amazing men and women who were a part of seeing it grow and flourish. And lately, we've been looking a lot at Paul, who was extremely influential in the growth of the early church. If you've been with us through this series, you know that Paul was originally known as a man named Saul. And in the beginning, he was actually against the early church. As a matter of fact, he was throwing Christians in jail, and he was actually having them killed for their faith. But then he himself had an encounter with the Lord that radically changed his life. His life was turned around, and now he is the one going out and taking the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And if you remember from last week, Paul had been all over the place, but he was on his way back to Jerusalem because the Lord had directed him to go there. That was his priority, to get back to Jerusalem. But when he returned to Jerusalem, things didn't quite go the way that I'm sure he hoped they would. When he went to the temple to worship the Lord, some of the Jewish leaders, they made accusations about Paul that weren't true. They said he did some things that he didn't do. And so these leaders stirred up many of the people in the temple courts, causing really a riot right there in the temple area. And these people, they got so irate that they were actually going to kill Paul. And they would have killed him, I think, if the Roman commander hadn't showed up to save him. And so Paul, after this commander saves him, he asks if he can address this crowd, the same crowd that just tried to kill him. And at first, they began to listen to him. But as soon as he started talking about taking the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews of this time, they would be considered heathens, that upset the crowd, and the crowd again went crazy. And so the commander had Paul taken to the barracks to get him out of this angry mob and the chaos that was taking place. And the commander had actually planned to flog Paul, that is, until he realized that he was a Roman citizen. And because he was a Roman citizen, he knew that he couldn't hurt Paul if he hadn't been found guilty of a crime. And so the next day, he ordered that Paul go and stand before the chief priests and leaders of the Sanhedrin, which is basically the Jewish court of law. And so this is where I want to pick up this morning in Acts, as we're going to look at Acts 23, verses 1 through 11. This is what it says. You can follow along with me as we're going to put it on the screen. And this week, I'm going to make sure the right words are in the right place. We had a little mix-up last week's message. But here we go. Acts 23, 1 through 11 says this. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered that those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descendant from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe in all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." And we'll stop there this morning. Now, if you remember all the way back in Acts chapter 7, Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin. And they were the ones that actually gave the order for Stephen to be killed, where he became the first martyr. Now, Paul himself was there that day. He was actually part of the Sanhedrin, and he was the one that gave the order for Stephen to be killed. But now, it's Paul who finds himself in front of the Sanhedrin. And now he faces the same possible outcome that Stephen experienced. They very well could have taken his life. And Paul knows this, but he does not waver in what he says. And he continues to speak the truth about Jesus and be a witness for his Savior right there in front of the Jewish leaders. Now, as I studied this section of Scripture, there were a few things that stood out to me in regards to Paul and his life. And I want to take some time this morning to kind of look at these things that stood out to me and kind of ask that question, what can we learn from Paul here in these scriptures when it comes to living our life for Jesus? And so I think one of the first things that we can learn from Paul here about living our life for Jesus is this. He seeks to live life in good conscience. Paul was a person that sought to live his life in good conscience. It says in verse 1 that Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." You see, Paul grew up in a family of religious leaders. And even when he was killing Christians, he did it because he believed that he was fighting for God, that he was defending God's honor. And now that he realized he was wrong, now that he came to know Jesus and understand the truth of who he was, he did everything now in his power to live a faithful life to Christ, to live a faithful life to Jesus. And so when I talk about living a life in good conscience, I'm talking about doing everything we can to live a life faithful to Jesus. Now, unfortunately, because of the fall of man, we are born into a sin nature. We are born with this sin, and we desire to do sin. We lean in that direction. This is the reason Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. He knew that we couldn't overcome this sin nature on our own. We needed Him. We needed the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But because of that sin nature that we are born into, we're often compelled to do things that go against God's will, that go against His plan for our life. We're compelled and drawn to the things of the world often instead of the things of God. But God has called us to turn from the things of the world. He has called us to live life differently. And Paul was a man who lived his life differently. He did everything in his power to live his life for the Lord, to live in accordance with the will of God. He didn't just talk the talk. Paul was one of those who walked the walk, and he lived his life for the Lord in good conscience. This is one of the things that made him an effective leader, that made him an effective witness for the Lord. You see, they saw a life that was dedicated to Jesus. They saw a person who was truly living out what he said and what he believed. Because there are many people in this world that say that they're Christians. But are they really doing their best to live the life God has called them to live? Are we doing our best to live the life that God has called us to live? Are we living our life in good conscience? Are we being a positive example of Jesus to others? Are we drawing people to Jesus? Or are we pushing people away from Him? It's a question we have to ask. Now, the truth is, none of us are perfect. We're all going to fail and make mistakes at times in our life. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect and that we need to be perfect. But here's the thing, when we peel back the layers and we get to the heart of things, are we people that are striving to live our lives for Jesus, to live faithfully for Him? Are we living in good conscience, knowing that we're doing the best that we can? You see, even Paul messed up at times. He was human. We see it in these scriptures, which kind of leads me to my second point about Paul this morning, what we can learn from him, and that's this. He was willing to admit his mistakes. He wasn't afraid to say, hey, I messed up. In verses 2 through 5, we see an encounter between Paul and the high priest. I want to read it back to you again this morning. He says, at this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. Those who were standing near Paul said, how dare you insult God's high priest? Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. You see, in these scriptures, Paul makes a huge mistake as he insults the high priest here in front of the Sanhedrin, something that was a major no-no for a Jew to do. But Paul, he quickly responds and he points out the fact that one, he didn't know that he was the high priest, and he admits that once he found that out, he admits, hey, I was wrong. No one should ever talk like that to the high priest. Now, when I studied these verses, I found that there are different opinions on how Paul could have made this mistake. Some think that it had been so long since Paul himself was on the Sanhedrin that he didn't know who the high priest was at that time. And then there are others who believe that Paul had actually gotten very poor eyesight, that he couldn't see very well, and that he didn't realize who it was that had actually said to do what they did to him. And so that's why he didn't know it was the high priest that told him to do that. But either way, Paul knows he messed up. And so he quickly admitted his mistake. And I believe this is a great example for all of us. We need to be real at times. We need to be honest when we fail and when we make mistakes. Now, I know that this can be a very challenging thing, and I'm speaking from experience. Ask my wife. I hate to admit when I'm wrong. I hate to admit when I've messed up. But I know this. There is something powerful that happens when we admit our mistakes. You know, for one thing, I think it makes us real. When we admit our mistakes, it makes us real. It allows people to see that we're human and that we're not afraid to admit our failures. Because I got to tell you this, people aren't attracted to the perfect know-it-all Christians who have it all together. No, people are attracted to those who are real, people that they can actually relate to, that they admit their failures and mistakes. And then secondly, when it comes to this, I think it can often diffuse a situation. I think Paul, he diffused. If he wouldn't have admitted that he was wrong, it could have escalated and he could have been killed in this situation. And so I think it often diffuses a situation and allows others actually the opportunity to then respond, to forgive us in those situations. And the reality is that it's hard to be a good witness to people that are upset with us or angry at us. It's hard to be a positive influence on people when they look at us and just see us as hypocrites. As followers of Christ, we have to realize that we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. And we have to be open and honest, like Paul was here, to admit when we fail and make mistakes. And then the next thing that I saw about Paul in these scriptures is this. He respected those in authority. At the end of verse 5, it says, "For it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people." And Paul was quick to correct this mistake here out of respect for the high priest. Much like David respected Saul as king, even when Saul was wrong and doing the wrong things. And so Paul was doing the same thing. He knew he needed to respect the high priest, even if the high priest was wrong here in this situation. Now, the main principle we see Paul abiding by here is that we should respect those whom God has put into places of authority or allowed to be put in places of authority. However, let me just say this. Respect is really something we should attempt to show everyone, that we should show all people. And I really believe that is how Paul tried to live his life, as you see him all throughout the scriptures. And that's because he knew every person in this world was created by God. And not just that, they were created by God in the image of God. In his image, all of us were created, which is why we should respect and value them as human beings. Yes, there are people out there that aren't nice. There are people out there that do mean and terrible things. There are people who sometimes offend us and say things that may even hurt us. But the thing we have to realize is that Jesus died for them too. He died for me, he died for you, and he died for them. And as followers of Jesus, we're actually called to love and respect all people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus described neighbor in the Gospels as the enemy to the Jews. A Samaritan was the worst of the worst. We're supposed to love and respect all people. And I believe the way we treat people will actually affect the influence that we will have on their lives. It goes back to what you've heard me say numerous times about the right to be heard. You see, we earn the right to be heard when we respect people and value them. But if we rudely march into people's lives showing no respect for their thoughts or feelings, then it's unlikely that we'll have any influence on their life. They'll just want to have nothing to do with us. The only influence we have will be a negative influence. We don't have to agree with everything people do or say or how they even present themselves at times. But we do need to be careful in regards to how we treat them. We don't want to be people who push others away from Jesus. We want to be people who draw them to him. And people were drawn to Jesus because of his love. And when we love and respect people, they are drawn to us. It doesn't matter if it's a person of authority or if it's even a homeless person on the street. Everyone deserves our respect. Everyone is loved by Jesus, and we need to love and respect them the best that we can. And in that, when we love and respect people, we become a more effective witness for Jesus, drawing people to him. Now, the next thing I saw about Paul in these scriptures is this. The fourth thing, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now I want to look again at verses 6 through 10. It says this, Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, the dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel had spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him in to the barracks. And so let me explain what I want to share here about being led by the Holy Spirit through these scriptures. You see, here in the midst of the Sanhedrin, Paul references Jesus' resurrection and the resurrection of the dead that will happen later. Now, if you aren't familiar with some of the differences between the Pharisees and Sadducees, it tells us there in verse 8. One of the things had to do with their belief in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in resurrection, the Sadducees didn't. And so when Paul references the resurrection here in these scriptures, it causes this dispute among the leaders, which in all reality is what saved his life. Remember, this Sanhedrin that Paul is standing in front of, it's the Jewish court of law. And if they had all been in agreement, they could have had Paul killed right there in the same way that Stephen had been killed. But because of this dispute, because of this uproar that took place, the Roman commander had him removed and taken to the barracks. And so the question is, what caused Paul to say what he said in this moment? What caused him to ask this question that caused this uproar? Now, I'm going to, again, use some liberties here, but I believe Paul was a man of God who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit was the one who led him to say what he said. I can guarantee you, man, if you're about to go before the Jewish court, Paul was praying and seeking the Lord, and I believe the words that he was speaking were the words that were given to him by the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that this was just some ploy to rile up the two sides. If you look at the end of verse 9, some of the Pharisees actually say this. They say, "We find nothing wrong with this man." They said, what if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" Paul was actually appealing to the Pharisees here, knowing that they believed in resurrection. And it seems as if some of the Pharisees were actually beginning to believe Paul. These people who had been trying to kill Paul seemed to be changing their tune here. And the reality is that could only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hearts aren't changed without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit, and because of that, some of these leaders were now being drawn to the truth. You see, if we want to be the followers of Jesus that God is calling us to be, I believe we need to be people who are led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there are going to be times when we speak up, and in reality, we probably should have kept our mouths closed. Or the opposite is true. There are times when maybe we stay silent when we really should speak up. But the key is that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. That we're seeking the Lord and allowing the Lord to guide us and direct us in what we do and in what we say. Which kind of leads me here to our final point about Paul this morning, which is this. Number 5. I believe that Paul here, he received encouragement from the Lord. And so in verse 11 it says, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" God was encouraging Paul, "You're not going to die here. I have plans for you over there, so you can't die here." He was encouraging him. And it says here that the Lord stood near Paul and said these things, said, "Take courage." Now, Again, I'm going to take some liberties here, but that's because I know enough about Paul to believe that, that he heard these words from the Lord because he was taking time to seek him. He was listening to the Lord, listening to what God wanted to speak to him. And the truth is, if we've given our life to Christ, then he's with us wherever we go, right? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He's with us wherever we go. But even though he's with us, we have to make an effort to then be with him, to open our heart and our ears to him. We have to draw near to his presence. We have to take time to stop and to listen and allow him to speak to us. You see, Paul continually heard the Lord because he was faithfully seeking God. He was faithfully seeking him out. He was taking time to be with him and to be in his presence. And the question we have to ask ourselves again this morning, because it's very similar to last week and what God asked us last week in last week's message, but it's are we taking time to be with the Lord? And I don't know, this keeps coming up in my messages, in my devotional, so God is speaking to us powerfully. I know he's speaking to me because I know in the midst of the pandemic and the struggles and challenges, I started to get away from that, and maybe many of us had, and the Lord keeps asking that question, are we taking time to be with him? Are we taking time to seek him and his will for our lives? Are we allowing him to encourage us and strengthen us in these times to be our peace and our comfort? As followers of Jesus, we need to be seeking the Lord, to be seeking that encouragement and that strength from him. And we do that by making it a priority to be in his presence, whether that's through spending time in prayer with him, whether that's reading the word, whether that's taking some time just to worship him and allow him to speak to us through song, whether that's here at church or whether that's at your home or whether that's up on a mountaintop or in your prayer closet. It doesn't matter. God is always with us. It doesn't matter where we are. What matters is that we're seeking him, that we're opening up our heart and our ears to listen to his voice so that like Paul, we can grow in him and be the godly examples that he desires us to be. Paul was an amazing man of God that we've been learning so much from here in these scriptures. But the thing we have to remember is that Paul, he was just a person. No different than you, no different than me. And so as we look at his life and as we learn from his examples, we're then challenged to do the same, to live our life in a way where we then can be examples to others just like Paul was. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for these scriptures. As we've been walking through Acts in the early church, as we've been looking at Paul and his life, Lord, there are so many things that we can learn from these men and women of God and the way that they lived their life for you. And Lord, we want to grow and we want to learn from these things. But Lord, we want to do that also so that we can then be an example to others, Lord, that people can look at our life and grow as they see the things that we're growing in and the things that we're doing. And so, Lord, remind us. Sometimes we look at people like Paul, people like Peter, people in the scriptures, and we think, man, I can never be like that. Man, they are these people who are amazing, that walked with God, experienced all these things. But the reality is they're no different than us. They're human beings just like us that make mistakes just like us. And it's a matter of us just seeking you and allowing you to move in our lives, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the encouragement of your word and the examples that we learn from people in your word, Lord. And so we just, we give this to you this morning. What are the things that you're speaking to us as individuals, Lord? What is it that you want to challenge each of us in? in our lives, Lord. I love the fact that we're all on this journey. We're all at different places, and you don't make us all come to the same place. Lord, you meet us right where we're at. And so where is it that you want to meet us this morning in the midst of your word, Lord? What is it that you want to challenge us in, that you want to encourage us in, give us hope for the future in the same way that you did for Paul here, Lord? And so we give you these things this morning. We just thank you and praise you for what you're doing in and through our lives. Help us to grow in you and be the examples that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.